Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. You're probably tired of this announcement, but sometimes people tune in for the first time. I have done a CD called Journey Through Advent, where I take the readings of the four Sundays of Advent. I've put them on a CD that is available for purchase. You can do that by going to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, and you can order the CD there. Again, the title is Journey Through Advent, or you can call 1-734-662-1730. That's 1-734-662-1730 and order by phone. When I look at the readings for today, I ask myself, am I sold out for God? Is my life really totally given to God? And I'm talking about my interior. I may be doing all kinds of things for God, for His people, but where's my heart? Am I really giving myself to God? Do I really want His will in every circumstance of my life? That's hard. I have to wrestle. Sometimes God doesn't wrestle me to the ground, but sometimes I feel like it because I think my will is good. And it may be good. As a good friend of mine said one day, there's a world of difference between the good thing and the God thing. Doesn't mean that God isn't good. I'm not making that distinction. But from our limited perspective, we can look at many things and think this is good, therefore it's okay. But when we're talking about our life, we want to make sure that we're doing God's will, not just the good thing, but God's will. So we take a look now at the book of Maccabees, chapter 7. Verse 1 and then 20 to 31. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested. They were tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. It was unclean, and nothing unclean should enter your mouth. You were created by God, and we can apply that on a lot of different levels. Most admirable and worthy of everlasting remembrance was the mother who saw her seven sons perish in a single day, yet bore it courageously because of her hope in the Lord. Filled with a noble spirit that stirred her womanly heart with manly courage, she exhorted each of them in the language of their ancestors with these words, "I do not know how you came into existence in my womb. It was not I who gave you the breath of life, nor was it I who set in order the elements of which each of you is composed." See, she sees the origin. In one sense, she's their source on an earthly level, but she knows she is ultimately not their source. It is God. Do you live out of that reality? "It was not I who gave you the breath of life, nor was it I who set in order the elements of which each of you is composed. Therefore, since it is the Creator of the universe who shapes each man's beginning as he brings about the origin of everything, he in his mercy will give you back both breath and life because you now disregard yourselves for the sake of his law." What a noble, strong mother. Antiochus, suspecting insult in her words, thought he was being ridiculed. See, he couldn't understand the language, so immediately, what's he do? He thinks about himself. She's ridiculing me, which she hadn't done. As the youngest brother was still alive, the king appealed to him, not with mere words, but with promises on oath to make him rich and happy if he would abandon his ancestral customs. Isn't that going on today? Another form? But aren't our young, as well as ourselves, being drawn away from the truth? Because we're offered all kinds of immediate pleasures, immediate satisfaction, the adulation of the world, Don't we get taken in? He says that he would make him his friend and entrust him with high office. That's Antiochus. That's what he's promising this young man. When the youth paid no attention to him at all, the king appealed to the mother, urging her to advise her boy to save his life. After he had urged her for a long time, you imagine what that would be like? She went through the motions of persuading her son. She pretended. In derision of the cruel tyrant, she leaned over close to her son and said in their native language, "Son, have pity on me, who carried you in my womb for 9 months, nursed you for 3 years, brought you up, educated and supported you to your present age. I beg you, child, to look at the heavens and the earth and see all that is in them. Then you will know that God did not make them out of existing things. And in the same way, the human race came into existence. Do not be afraid of this executioner, but be worthy of your brothers and accept death, so that in the time of mercy, I may receive you again with them." Talk about faith challenged at the deepest part of a woman's heart, of deepest part of a woman's being, her children. And look what she did. Brothers and sisters, we need to take example from this woman. We need to learn. We need to ask God to give us that kind of courage, that kind of commitment to the truth, that definition of love. Psalm 17, "Lord, when your glory appears, my joy will be full." When your glory appears, my joy will be full. And she received joy that day when her son said, "What are you waiting for? I will not obey the king's command. I obey the command of the law given to our fathers through Moses. But you, who have contrived every kind of affliction for the Hebrews, will not escape the hands of God." And he died. All seven of her sons. I want to meet this woman. I want to spend time with her one day. Look at that courage. Look at that commitment to the truth. Look at that zeal for God. Look at her training of her sons. Look what they were able to do because of the way they have been raised, the way they have been trained, plus an enormous amount of God's grace. "My steps have been steadfast in your paths. My feet have not faltered. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my word. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. I in justice shall behold your face. On waking, I shall be content in your presence." Talk about faith. Can you pray that psalm and mean it? At least say to the Lord, "Lord, give me the grace to want to mean it." Somebody teasingly said, "Well, you can even start 3 months. I want to mean it." We don't. There's something in it that repels us because it will cost us everything. And yet when you make that commitment, when you say to the Lord, "By your grace, by your power, I will follow you all the days of my life, whatever it costs." When you can do that, you are truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 28. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, 'Engage in trade with these until I return.'" God gave us life and he gave us gifts through baptism, through confirmation, through all the sacraments. He gave us gifts. And he said, "Engage in trade with these until I return." His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, "We do not want this man to be our king." But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. And the first came forward and said, "Sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones." And he replied, "Well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities." We've been given coins, brothers and sisters. We've been given gifts. We've been given faith and hope and love. We've been given all the graces and gifts of the sacraments. We've been given intelligence. What are we doing with it? Then the second came and reported, "Your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more." And to this servant too, he said, "You take charge of 5 cities." And then the other servant came and said, "Here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief because I was afraid of you, because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down. You harvest what you did not plant." He's afraid of them. And he said, "So I took the secure route. I just hid it. I did nothing." What are you going to say when you stand before God, when he asks you to render an account? It will be done with great mercy, but we do have to render an account of what we have done with what we've been given. And as I said in another parable, it doesn't matter whether we've been given 8 coins, 5 coins, 10 coins. What matters is what we did with them, with what we did with what we've been given. The fact that somebody has 10 coins doesn't mean they have an automatic pathway to heaven. It's the same as it is with someone who's received less. What have you done with what I've given you? And then the other servant came, and he said, "Sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief." Are you doing that? "For I was afraid of you, because you are demanding." Jesus asks us to observe his commandments because he knows they will give us life, eternal life. He doesn't ask us to obey him so that he can lord it over us. He gives us 10 commandments because they know, he knows, they will lead us to life. What have we done with what we've been given? And this third one says, "I kept it stored away in a handkerchief because I was afraid of you, because you are a demanding man. You take up what you did not lay down. You harvest what you did not plant." And he said to him, "With your own words, I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why did you not put my money in a bank?" Brothers and sisters, why did you not put my money in a bank? Have we taken the gifts that we've been given? Have we presented them to the Holy Spirit? Have we asked the Holy Spirit to guard and to help to grow and to strengthen and to bring maturity what I have been given, that it may bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold? Have I done that in my life? Brothers and sisters, please, pay attention to this gospel passage, and may you begin to live it in a way that you haven't before. Are you sold out for God? May it be so. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.